Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
7:14, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by our friend Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. Talk about a lot of different things. How you doing, Joe?
I'm great. Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. We had a story we're running about the surge in water board and the rain that happened and after the Monday after Easter. And I know you guys are going to talk about it today at the Council's Public Works Committee. But again, it seems like everything is fine until it rains. Then we got turbine problems and power problems, which I don't know if we always have power problems or they only occur. You see, here's a question, Joe. It comes down to, are the power problems exposed because it happens to rain a lot? And that's when we go back and look and it's like, oh, well, if you had checked every day, you would have noticed we had a power problem. Or is it whenever you go to use the system to pump the water, it doesn't work? And that's why we know we have a problem. Thoughts?
Yeah, it's a great question. Mm-hmm. I think it has a lot to do with how much power you have to generate versus dry events versus rain events. And obviously, if it's not raining, there isn't as much power that's needed. And I think for a long time, we sort of talked about sewage and water boards, power needs and what needs to be done. And of course, as everybody knows, you have the old power system, the 25 hertz power and the 60 hertz power. So you have two problems now, Tommy. One is you have an old power source that's outdated and you have plenty of 25 hertz pumps. And then those pumps are powered in turn either by something like turbine 4, which is 100 years old. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that. It dates back to World War One. You have those frequency changers that then can convert the 60 hertz power to the 25 hertz, but then how are you getting the power to where it needs to be? So it's a long way of saying the power issues become more problematic because you have to have more power necessary when it rains. You have to have power for 25 and 60 hertz when it rains. And because the system is old, it's hard to manage all that, which, of course, is why all of us have our fingers crossed so readily for the summer when the new substation and Turbine 7 come online.
So let me take a step back here, if I may. And that is, when it comes to the pumps and they can handle, because here's the deal. Before the Cedric Grant flood, the infamous Cedric Grant flood, right, we were told the pumps can handle an inch an hour for the first hour and then a half inch every hour thereafter. I still don't know what that means, because that's like a 1 in 100 year rainfall kind of reference, because it sounds great, but what does it really mean? So it goes to what pumps are available at what area, what power's available at what area, right? So is that still an accurate statement, Joe, to say you're a smart man, you're an attorney, you just do this stuff, you know, for a living? Is that an accurate statement to say an inch an hour and a half an inch thereafter? Because now we're back to saying, we got away from saying it, now we're saying it again, and I don't know what it means.
I think the statement itself is accurate, but then you added something on that has become the new corollary to the statement, which is important, which is, well, this is a 100-year rainstorm or a 10-year rainstorm. Mm-hmm. And what I keep on saying to Sewage and Water Board and to legislators is, hey, the reality is these 10-year rainstorms are not occurring every 10 years. They're occurring every year, sometimes multiple times mm-hmm. per year. So we have to maybe start talking about how we're changing certain things as a result of that, because the 10-year storm, the 50-year storm, the 100-year storm, they're happening with greater frequency than they used to. And so the whole idea of 1 inch per hour, half an inch is fine if the modeling is what it's supposed to be, but we're having those stronger storms that happen. I think Sewage and Water Board, and they'll correct me if I'm wrong here, but the storm that happened the other day when T4 went down, Algiers and Marrero and Gretna got something like 6 to 8 inches mm-hmm. during just those couple of hours. I mean, the system is just not designed.
Well, see, and that's the crux of it, Joe, and that's what I'm getting at is, well, then turbine 4 doesn't matter. If it rained 9 inches, it doesn't matter. And that's where I get confused with this, because we have an after actions report. Steve Nelson tells me turbine 4, a really old piece of equipment, takes about 3 hours to get heated up. Piece of equipment I can really only use if I know exactly when and where it's going to rain, which he doesn't. Nobody really does. So when it comes to the inch, an hour and a half an inch thereafter, that depends on the drainage. It depends on what gets into the canals. It depends on what can be pumped or what kind of power is available for the pumps to work. Are the pumps working? So I guess that just seems to me like a meaningless generalization, or am I wrong?
I don't think it's a meaningless generalization, but I think, again, you've now, just listening to you, become an expert and the drainage system too, and you're hitting on all
of, you're not being sarcastic when you say that, right?
I'm not. Okay. That is said with absolute sober seriousness. Is that look, you just identified the front part of the system, okay? So Sewage and Water Board, in my view, has consistently been blamed for drainage issues that happen in the front. Catch basin that's blocked, the smaller linear line that's blocked. I mean, it's just like the plug in your bathtub. Mm-hmm. If you put that plug down in your bathtub, the water's not going to go anywhere. You lift it up. Now, that has nothing to do with power. That has to do with just pure gravity and movement and getting everything in the right spot. So if that doesn't move, that is a problem. So that's issue number one. Issue number two, as you're pointing out, I would argue, is the power issue. I mean, we've seen what happens both in 2017 and post-2017 when the power goes out. Remember, gosh, I guess it was close to last year, we had the boil water advisory mm-hmm. when the balloon hit the line and the system tripped at Sewage and Water Board and the water pressure went down for a little while. That's a power issue. That's not it rained too hard, the drains were blocked, the lines weren't clean. That is a pure power issue. And the power is a problem. And then the last problem that you're pointing out, which is the one that's much harder to deal with and more expensive, is, okay, let's assume the drains are perfectly cleaned and the power is running like it should be, which should be the case this summer. Well, then if you get 6 to 8 inches of rain, then how do we deal with that? And that's the point where the system truly is overwhelmed, and you have to talk about just monumental wads of money to fix that, because it requires more pumping capacity, more retention of water, all sorts of systems. And I think that's the next place that we're moving towards. But we've been in such a problem, Tommy, because, again, you pointed this out, turbine 4 is ancient. A lot of the pumps are ancient. They use 25 hertz power. We're finally going to have a new power source for the first time in such a long time. There has to be conversion of the old pumps to the new power source. There has to be water purification. And then how do you start dealing with retaining water or making the system stronger as it is? And I guess that's going to be the piece down the road. We're kind of, in my view, the remedial mode right now. And then how do you get out of remedial to slightly more proactive?
Yeah, let me take a break. It just seems like every time something like this happens, we talk about this power being out or that power being out. However, Meanwhile, back at the ranch, if it rains 9 inches, there's nothing you could do anyway. So I get confused about that. We'll talk about the pick to lead the surge in waterboarding when we come back. Randy Heyman and your thoughts on that. He's coming from Philadelphia, and does he have experience, or does he understand everything that he's getting into, as we just outlined, talking to Joe Geruso, our friend, New Orleans City Council member, about the surge in waterboard drainage and when it rains 9 inches, I don't know what anybody can do. 7:23 traffic now, WWL. 7:28 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. The Public Works Committee will meet later on, talk about the Easter Monday flood. Let's talk about Randy Heyman. Joe, coming from Philadelphia, thoughts on him as the new executive director of the SNWB?
Well, Mr. Heyman seems to have a wonderful educational background. Went to Michigan undergrad, Georgetown Law School. You know how us lawyers always push for other lawyers. But one of my chief concerns is maybe twofold. Number one, I don't understand how none of the internal candidates made the final round of interviews. You just said yourself, Steve Nelson was on air.
He seems like the obvious choice to me, Joe, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's he seems like an obvious choice to be in the mix, and I don't know how you say he isn't. And also, Tommy, like, let's point out every time, basically in the last year to year and a half, there has been a hard media story. Steve Nelson's the one who, pardon the pun, has carried the water for Surge and Waterboard. And I just think they've used him a whole lot to go do the hard lifting, and then not to even advance him or Caitlin to the final round is disappointing. And the other problem, I think, for Mr. Heyman, we were discussing all of this sort of elliptically in the last segment, but put a finer point on it. Surge and Waterboard is a state agency, which means you have to rely on the legislature. As of right now, the mayor is the chair of the board, and then you have the council that sets the rates, which means you have to be political and know how to get things done and work with people. And Mr. Heyman may be able to do that after a period of time, but he's not going to be able to parachute on day one when he starts and have relationships with the governor, the leaders in the legislature, and the council. And I worry because the needs are immediate, as we've been talking about, and the things that need to happen and how old the system is and just what the political climate is. That takes time. And it seems like we're kind of taking a step back, even if he has skills that are more frontward facing. Louisiana in general is just a different animal, and you got to be able to hit the ground running.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate your time. We'll see how it plays out. We'll come back, talk about TOPS and how many students or fewer students are receiving it right now. A minute late. Time for WWL First News. 7:46, 14 till 8. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Kim Hunter Reed joins us, Commissioner of Higher Education for Louisiana. Good morning, Dr. Reed. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am okay. Let's talk about TOPS. And before, you know, so many times we take things for granted that the audience knows. TOPS has been around for a long time. Maybe people know of it. Maybe generations in all the time it's been around don't.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Know of it. So let's explain for the first thing, Doctor, if we can, what TOPS is.
Sure. TOPS is a financial aid program for students in Louisiana. It's a merit-based program. Obviously, Pat Taylor had a lot to do with the start of the TOPS program, the evolution of the program. His commitment early on was that if students were academically prepared, he would find a personal way to support them going to college. It evolved from a philanthropic idea into a state-supported financial aid program, now serves about 50,000 students in Louisiana every year, undergraduate students, but you can use it if you have TOPS left over to go into graduate school. So it is foundational to the financial aid program that we have in our state to ensure that more students have access to credentials that will help them to support themselves and their families going forward.
Who can get it?
Students can get it if they are high school graduates, they meet academic requirements, and they are enrolling in schools in Louisiana. So it is designed to keep students moving forward. It is certainly designed to try to help us keep our best and brightest here. There are programs for students who are pursuing career technical education in a community college, and there are TOPS programs for students who are pursuing four-year degrees as well.
So it seems the academic requirements, they're not that stringent, are they?
No, they're a GPA requirement, an ACT requirement, and it's graduated based on the amount of TOPS. So there's a TOPS opportunity program for the base level of TOPS, but then there's an honors and performance program if you have a higher GPA or higher ACT. And then, as I mentioned, we also have TOPS Tech for students who are pursuing career technical education in a community college in Louisiana.
So it seems like not too long ago we were talking about funding TOPS, who can get it, who can't get it, is there enough money? Well, lately it seems like some money's not being used or not as many people are taking advantage of TOPS. What do the numbers show, Doc?
The numbers do show a decline in the number of people who are accepting TOPS, the number of people who are eligible for TOPS. And we've done some research on that. We do know that there are border states that are really cleaning our clock when it comes to financial aid packaging for students, a very competitive market right now for students. And so we do see students who are choosing to go to other states. We understand that, but we certainly want to be more competitive. We're concerned, Tommy, about students who choose not to go at all. We are seeing students who choose to go part-time because life happens. TOPS is a full-time scholarship program, so you have to be full-time to be eligible. So we're looking at student patterns, consumer patterns. The legislature certainly is trying to pass some legislation this session to make TOPS more competitive, but you're absolutely right. For many, many years, the TOPS program was growing. For the last 3 or 4 years, we have not had to request additional dollars. The TOPS program has declined.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to our friend about TOPS, Dr. Kim Hunter Reed, who is the Commissioner of Higher Ed for Louisiana. If you have any questions or comments about TOPS, the Oconar Jeweler Talk and Text line is open at 504-260-1870. Talk, text, data, message rates may apply. Please do not text and drive. 750, 10 till 8, traffic now, WWO. It is 7:56 and a half. I'm Tommy Tucker here on WWL talking to Dr. Kim Hunter Reed, Commissioner of Higher Ed for Louisiana, about fewer Louisiana students getting top scholarships. A couple of texts that are coming in here. Dr. Reed, you just hit a very high point. Border states giving our top students more money than LSU. They're getting more from Alabama than they will to go to school here. Somebody else said minimum ACT is 19. Not fair to good students who don't excel in chemistry, physics, geometry, and algebra. Thoughts?
Well, two things I would say. First of all, obviously, we do have to make sure that we're more competitive, and we do have legislation this session to try to address some of those issues around the packaging, because as I mentioned, this is a competitive market. So I'm excited about the legislative conversations about upping our game when it comes to retaining our best and brightest. to the point about making sure there's a path, an affordable path for every student, that too is important. Louisiana has a need-based scholarship program, a need-based program, Go Grants. We have an adult financial aid program, MJ Foster. So it is true, Tommy, we have to make sure that if this knowledge economy is going to require certificates and credentials beyond high school, that there are paths for people to access those credentials affordably. So, yes, we're talking about TOPS, but we are also certainly are talking about need-based aid. We're talking about dual enrollment. We're talking about adult financial aid. That full suite of scholarships and grants are important for students, for sure.
Have they ever connected, or you all ever connected the dots with students that, as it relates to brain drain, right, with Louisiana students that accept TOP money, TOPS money that stay here after they graduate?
We do look to see, are the students, I assume you're asking the question, do they stay?
Right.
Is that correct?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I'm trying to ask Doc in my own clumsy way.
No. We do get that question all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Are we actually allowing students to get the credential and then providing them the job market that allows them to remain? Obviously, it's very exciting right now as we are announcing lots of new economic development projects. But you are absolutely correct. We have to make sure that the economic opportunities are there for our students. We want to make sure they're connecting early on with business and industry through apprenticeships and internships. We want to make sure that we are continuing to diversify our economy and lean into research that could allow us to spin off new jobs, new companies in Louisiana. So it's a full court press. It's not just one stovetop of education. It is an education to employment conversation that we have to have. But at the end of the day, more people need access to credentials of value beyond high school so that they can thrive, support themselves, and support their family.
Thank you, Doctor. Pleasure as always. Kim Hunter Reed, Commissioner of Higher Education for Louisiana. We come back, we're talking to Dr. Stephen Cantro, Program Director of Pulmonary Critical Care Medicine at LSU Health New Orleans, about a strange kind of thing that happened in the Capitol with smoking last week.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skene strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.